Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast, coming to you from the N Plus One studios overlooking downtown Frankfurt. In this podcast, we explore the world of endurance multi-sport. If it has to do with swimming, biking, running, any combination of the three, we're there. I'm your host, Linda Word, along with my co-host, Brian Schenkenfelder. This week, we are going to be talking about what esports is. And if you have no idea what esports is, neither do I. So we're going to let Brian talk to us about that. How are you today, Brian?
I'm phenomenal. I'm here. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Woohoo!
It's another great week, another great time to be alive, right?
It is. It's you know, I'm starting to enjoy this, doing this first thing in the week. Something to look forward to.
Oh, it's good times, man.
Yeah.
People are like, you're not phenomenal. I'm like, sure, why not?
What's to make you not phenomenal?
It's the only thing I can control is my attitude. Might as well have fun with it.
That's right.
My wife hates me on Monday mornings, by the way.
I don't see you till later, so...
She usually hates me on most mornings. Anyway. I'm way too cheerful early in the morning for her taste.
I get it. I'm a morning person now, and I just kind of creep very quietly because nobody likes me.
I'm not really a morning person. I just choose to be happy in the morning.
Well, it's better than starting off the day grumbly. I mean...
That's true. You know. Again, you... Might as well be happy.
Set the tone for the day in a positive way.
There you go. There
we, I made it. A rhyme. That's awful. Oof. So what have you been doing?
This weekend was the interesting bike weekend. Saturday morning, it was cold as heck, so I got to go mountain biking.
That's right.
That was fun. It's always good to go mountain biking.
Last time, let's see, last week when you talked about mountain biking, you...
I did not get a flat tire this time. That
all
was good.
Right. No flat tire.
I was able to make it all the way around. It was good times. And then it warmed up that afternoon. And then Sunday it was warm and I was able to get out on my road bike and ride Sunday. I rode for you with you a little bit. You did the tour day Frankfurt.
I did the, hey, I haven't been on my bike in, I don't know, 2 months. So let's see how many hours I can be out there for. Well, you didn't answer my text messages.
Well, that's because I was...
You were... Busy doing stuff.
Consumed with playing with Alex.
So. Yeah. Well, I lucked out. I for some reason, especially at the beginning of the season, there's something about biking. Maybe I mean I'm not that new at it. I've been doing it a few years now, but it still makes me just a little nervous. So I like to go ride with somebody. I don't know why that is, but so I texted a friend. I'm like that lives down the street. I'm like I'm gonna go riding at 12, and it was 12:30. So I'm going to go ride at 1, and it was 12:30, and she's like, sure, I'll be there. So I was like, sweet. So she's a lot of fun to ride with. She's a spin cycle person, though, so I'm like, you know, you can shift gears when you're going up a hill. It's really...
What are gears?
Yeah. She tends to stand up and power through. I mean, she's much stronger than I am in that way, but I have a whole lot more endurance than she does because I don't do that. I shift gears.
Yeah, you can wear yourself out pretty quickly when you don't shift gears.
Yeah. She also has no idea like how to draft or stay close, but I'm working on her. I'm trying to get her to figure out how to not be in the middle of the road on these lovely country roads. And I'm like yelling, car up! But she scared me a couple times, but she's like, I'm coming.
Bike handling skills are not natural. You have to learn them and... You have to be aggressive about how you learn them because if you don't, you will always be timid and always be kind of out of place.
Yeah. I mean, bad things can happen. And I mean, my bike skills are, I mean, they're not spectacular, but they're not too horrible. It's just, I've been having trouble with my ankles. So the whole clipping in, clipping out makes me nervous that I'm going to hurt my ankle. And anyway, but it was a really good ride, and she and I split because she was on a time frame. I really wasn't. I was like, no, I'll keep on going to Brian's house. And I figured I would see you somewhere out there because it was like 54 degrees.
It was warmer, but it's not to the point where I'm like, I have to go out and ride.
It was like a beautiful, sunny day. I had two shirts on. My gloves were like long gone. I was burning up by the time I got here.
It's still cold for me.
And you were still here, and I was like, oh, well. I'm going to bike home. You want to come?
That got me out riding, and it was tolerable. My feet were still cold. My hands were still cold. Everything was still cold when I got home. It's still February. It's still not biking weather for me.
It was 54 degrees. It was beautiful out. I had done 21 miles by the time I got here.
Wow.
I was about ready to die when we were going up the first hill from this house.
Yeah, I went out and rode. I guess I did about 18 miles. That's okay. About one of my iron 15-minute loops or something like that.
So then when I was riding with you, I did another 9.5.
Okay, so you got over 30. That was
yeah
a pretty impressive ride.
For not being on a bike for like 2 months.
I'm surprised you could walk today.
You know, when I got home, my thighs felt like somebody hit them with a baseball bat. That was, but I took out the rollers and smoothed everything out and was okay. I taught class this morning and I was standing upright, so that was all right.
Actually, for me, the biggest problem when you start into the year is not that day you ride or the next day. It's if you get back on the bike the next day, your butt hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't do two days in a row. I need to get some more bike shorts. The chamois in mine is a little squished, I think.
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge for me early in the season is when I ride back-to-back days. My legs are fine, but my butt hurts. Dang. That takes a while to work through.
I almost want to buy another seat just so I can rotate seats, just kind of like you do rotate shoes.
I don't know if it's a seat. I think it's just sitting on
just sitting?
Your sit bones. Because you're going to take some pressure in certain areas that don't usually get that extended pressure.
Yeah.
And it creates soreness.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, it's usually not that uncomfortable when you ride. Now, if I go extending my rides out to 2 and 3 hours, that's when I start feeling it that day.
Yeah.
And when I know when I feel it that day, the next day is going to be rough if I have to ride the next day.
I mean, that was a 3-hour ride total for me yesterday with a couple breaks. Your wife fed me. That was nice of her. Unfortunately,
she's want to do that.
Yeah. There's
people who straggle in. Do you need any food? Do you need any drink?
It was great. But then I got a side stitch when I was biking with you. And I was like, oh, man. It was from being curled up, just eating, and trying to get up those stupid hills that we have on the side of town. Oh, my God. I'm like, you want to go Pea Ridge? Seriously? I should have just gone home on 60.
Probably.
That's all right. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, but you got to go down 2 big hills.
I did. I hit... What did I hit? 43 miles an hour?
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Wind was in our face. You couldn't go that fast.
No. Working on tucking down and figuring out how to get a little faster going down some of these crazy hills. I also had my longest run this weekend. On Saturday, I ran... I think it was my longest run since like last September. That's pretty good.
How far was it?
9.75 miles. I did not feel the need to do 10.
I haven't run 10 miles in... 6 years.
I was going to say, been a few years probably for you, yeah.
The last time I ran a half was the last time I ran a 10-mile training run.
Well, I've got a half marathon coming up the end of March, but I'm pacing it, so it should. I still need to be able to go the distance. So.
Going for speed.
I'm not going for speed. I'm just got to do the distance.
Oh, I'm just singing the cake song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I thought that was a pretty good weekend after being sick for like a few days last week. I felt like crap. I had a cold. So I actually took 2 full rest days. I did nothing. And what do you know? I got better and had a really good weekend of sports. So
yeah, you can come back pretty strong after a day or two of not doing anything.
Yep.
Those are usually my best biking and best running days. Those days after a couple days off. That's why when you peak, you don't do much those weeks because it's resting. You get stronger when you don't do anything.
Yep.
Yeah. The downside is you can lose some of your sharpness if you spend too much time away from a sport. So you have to do something a lot of times.
Well, I still did stuff, but it's like I don't normally take a full rest day. And I did a couple of... I mean, Friday I couldn't do anything because I had to work all day. And then I swam Thursday. I ran Wednesday. I didn't do anything Tuesday. So it was like Tuesday and Friday I did nothing. So that was pretty good for me.
Yeah, usually Monday's my rest day. If I do anything, it's usually an easy bike just to kind of spin out. I'm trying to make Mondays my rest day.
It's going to end up being my rest day. I mean, I teach a class early in the morning, and today I just got on a treadmill and just walked, and then I got in the weight room for a little bit, which I'm trying to start incorporating. I mean, I know I teach a bar class, which is strength, but I need to get some heavier weights going. So that's what I'm going to do on Mondays now.
Yeah, I have the weird where I'll do my hard bike on Wednesday. I'll do my long run on Thursday. Which guarantees my long run's going to be slow.
Yeah.
And then I'll do my fast run usually on Saturdays and then my long bike on Sunday. It's kind of weird to have things grouped like that.
Yeah.
It's the better way to do it. It's better than doing the long run one day and your fast work the next day.
Yes. Yeah, normally I do my speed workout on Mondays. I got to figure out another way to do that. Not on Mondays. Or, I don't know, figure out a day to take a break. Either that or swim masters, just super slow.
That's hard to do.
It is, I know. I find that.
Because I'm always adding elements of speed into the master's workout.
Well, I don't have to do it, though. I can just sit there and watch everybody and
but that's not technique. The way it works. Peer pressure takes over in a master's.
Yeah, I know.
Because we only meet 3 times a week. That's why I try to incorporate some harder elements in each practice.
I know. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people, that's all they do is swim. Yeah. You know, I mean, some of them bike too, and a few are triathletes, but the majority of the team, that's, you know, they do need that hard workout. I don't feel bad just sitting there on the side. Doesn't bother me a bit. As long as you don't pick on me, it's all good. I'll just sit in there and look at you and say, cramp.
Yeah, I'm pretty good about letting people do their own thing. I generally
most people
don't.
You know, if they stop, there's a reason for it, usually.
Now, I will call people out who aren't going hard enough.
Well, yeah, because you got a few super fast swimmers that you know should be putting in more effort.
So I've seen enough people swim and what their times are that if they come in slow, I'm like,
what's
are
up?
We going for a Sunday stroll today or are we swimming?
That's why we have you as a coach, Brian.
That's what I'm there for. That's why I get paid the small bucks.
Yep. That's right. All the accolades. Mm-hmm. So what else? What did you do after the bike ride? You were messing around with Alex and Minecraft?
Yeah, Sunday was Minecraft Sunday. It was good times. Yeah, it was an adventure-filled week because Saturday we had volleyball.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
And that was... We're getting better. We won, which is good. Because the kids keep asking if they win. They don't even know if they win or lose, which is hilarious to me. I think every time I'm just going to say, we won.
Yeah, don't tell them the truth.
Some know, but some of them are like, did we win? Did we lose? What? We did a much better job of getting to balls and not letting them hit the ground.
Woohoo!
Still too many are hitting the ground for my like. That's a work in progress.
Yeah.
We need to get better at serving. We're a little better in the game. We don't... May have to kind of formalize practice a little more. I hate doing that. I would rather it be kind of free-flowing. I think they goof off too much in practice with their serves, mm-hmm. and that's bleeding over into games. I may have to dial some of that back.
Yeah, I mean, practice. You can goof off for, like, the first part of practice and then merge into more structure.
A lot of times I'm trying to, like, okay, let's just serve. We'll get on the line and serve. That way you can get as many serves as you can in. I think a lot of times they just goof off with it and aren't very well focused with it. I need to figure out a way to create some focus and a high tempo. And that's a challenge.
I wonder if you can have, okay, see if you can get your serve to this point, you know, or like almost like, you know, hitting, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I know nothing about volleyball, so I guess I should just shush. But
no, we could probably make, I probably should make some type of games. Maybe,
How, you know, a target. I know they've targets. Got a net, but... How about throwing a soccer net out there or something? See if you can get it over some, you know, over something other than the net, have different things. Or hold up a hula hoop. I don't know.
Do some of that. I may have to think about
that would be fun. Have the kids, like, try to get the ball through the hula hoop. So they're having to go after the ball. Yeah. They're not hitting it, but at least they're getting, you know, they're getting close to it.
That I may have to put some targets out on the floor for them to give them something to hit at and try to hit. Yeah. That's a good idea. That way they have some focus to the random high speed.
Yeah.
Because I'm much more, I like high tempo practices where you hit the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, even if it's not as structured, not as focused, at least you're learning to hit the ball.
Yeah.
And getting as many of those as you, many touches, I like to call it touches, many touches as possible.
Yeah.
That's how you learn. That's how you get better.
This way, you know, making it a game, they won't get as bored and probably will waste less time. They'll want to do it faster or whatever.
Right.
So
give them targets. I like that. We'll incorporate that this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did that. Went to Waffle House for lunch afterwards. That was good.
Waffle House is awesome.
Then he had birthday party, so I just got work done around the house. Sunday became Minecraft Sunday. My son's been watching YouTube videos like he's wont to do. He was watching Luke the Notable. The one we were watching was 100 Days of Minecraft. He'll play 100 days within the game of Minecraft. Each day is like a 12-minute cycle in Minecraft.
Okay. So not a huge waste of time.
Well, he doesn't show all of it. He just shows the highlights from each day.
Okay.
And some of the big things he does and some of the finished product. He doesn't actually show all of it. It's very accelerated through.
So he's playing more than 12 minutes every day.
He's playing those 12 minutes. He plays that 100 days within the game, which is 10, 15 hours or whatever play time he does.
Oh my God.
And he'll bring that down to like a 30-minute video.
Okay.
And he'll provide commentary. And he's hilarious. His commentary is very dry, very matter of fact. And
name like Luke the Notable, I'm thinking, you know, medieval.
That's just his YouTube name. It's a very clever name, actually. I kind of like it. He does these things. He'll also do like games, say Fortnite, which Fortnite's a game where you drop in and you battle, the last one wins. He'll do 100 games. He'll play 100 games, and then he'll comment on these 100 games.
Okay.
And he'll do like a 10 or 15 second, 30 second blip on each drop he does.
Okay.
And show kind of the highlights from it. He's very funny about it.
Okay.
It's worth watching some of his videos. He's very entertaining about it. He was doing 100 Days Minecraft with his wife, and it's the first time she'd ever played Minecraft.
Oh, fun.
And they were going to defeat the game in 100 days, and they had to do all this farming and mining, and the pair of them did a lot of interesting things within the game of Minecraft. I'm not going to go into all of it. And my son and I were like, hey, let's try to do a lot of the things they did. We'll do the farming, we'll do the mining, we'll go and trade with the villagers, we'll get the things we need to defeat the end dragon and actually win. That's something him and I have never actually done, mm-hmm. is gone to the final realm and defeat the ender dragon. There's a lot of steps into it. And up until this point, my son, he gets bored with the Minecraft world, will kind of get established,
mm-hmm.
and then he kind of loses interest in that world, and so we'll generally create a second world and kind of build up again until he gets bored,
and then we go back to the other one. Okay.
We've never developed an extended world where we go out and accomplish a lot of these different goals. He's never had the attention span to make that work until fairly recently.
That makes sense. I mean, he's eight.
I've been doing this now for a while as I've watched these kids and coach them. Eight is kind of the magic age where the light switch kind of comes on.
Yeah.
They understand the strategy of games better. Mm-hmm. They understand kind of what you're trying to do. A lot of things get a lot easier when they hit eight. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about eight, but eight is that magic year where light switch comes on with a lot of elements with kids. And I noticed it across the board. Seven, they kind of starting to get it. Eight's when they finally get it. And six is they're kind of lost. And that makes volleyball challenging. It's 6 to 9.
Ooh.
And it's a wide range. And the 9-year-olds and 8-year-olds are just so much better than the 7 and 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
Of course, this last week they had the, I guess, 10 to 13 or 10 to 12 or whatever's the next age group up. Those kids were huge. They were 5'8" or whatever. Like, oh my gosh. They were monstrous. And that was just 12. It was like, wow.
Just you wait. Pretty soon here, you're going to be buying your kid new shoes every 2 months.
Oh, yeah. So we're playing Minecraft. And we spent a big chunk of the day playing. I was playing until you came by. And then I went and biked. We ate dinner, did some other things. And we played again that night. He went to bed. I was finishing up my work, and I was like, oh, man, let me get some materials. Some of the elements of Minecraft can be a little boring.
Okay.
Like, mining is one of them because it takes 20 or 30 minutes to mine and gather materials. Some of the farming can be time-consuming. The farming isn't so bad, but it can take 10 or 15 minutes to harvest your crops and replant.
Right.
So some of that he gets kind of bored with. I like to kind of maybe, when I have some time, do it on the side and try to collect some resources so he doesn't have to,
so he doesn't
keep
have to
the game
it.
Moving.
Yeah.
Because he'll do it on a limited scale, but he can't
do
it for an extended period of time. And it was about 10:30 last night. I'm like, here, let me just collect some resources for an hour and I'll go to bed. Yeah, 1 in the morning. I think I finally got to bed at 1:30 a.m. I hate games. They like suck your life away.
What are you, like 12?
I...
You're not a college kid anymore, Brian. I hate to tell you.
It is very much the flow. I'll start playing, and it is literally 2 or 3 hours later.
Oh, my gosh.
It feels like 10 minutes. It really does to me.
You need to set a bedtime alarm.
I try to set alarms when I game anymore because I can get lost in them. And it is bad. I will get hyper-focused in 15, it'll feel like 30 minutes and it'll be 3 hours. It's
me
crazy.
With a good book. It's probably one I don't read anymore.
It is like a good book, but it's worse because a video game is something you can get absorbed into for a much longer period
of
time.
Well, and you get positive reinforcement the more you do it, so you just kind of keep on going.
Because I remember playing Assassin's Creed before Alex came along, and I would go downstairs about 8 or 9 at night and play. My wife would go to bed or she'd do whatever, and next thing I know, it's 3 or 4 in the morning.
Thanks, working the next day. Really painful.
Well, this would be usually on a weekend when nothing was going on. We were hanging out.
Yeah.
This is the years leading up to Alex. We didn't go out and do nearly as much, which is why we ended up having kids. A kid, sorry. Because it wasn't as interesting on the weekends anymore. We didn't go out and do as much. And it kind of got repetitive. Yeah. Occasionally I would get into these where I would just game for 6 or 7, mostly into the nights.
Yeah, I bet.
It was wild. And this is what happened to me last night. And it got me interesting, and this kind of brings us into our topic of the day.
Yeah, esports that I know nothing about. So Minecraft is an esport?
Yes. And before we do that, let's get a word from our sponsors.
Word from our sponsor, 3-Sport Endurance Coaching. 3SE works with athletes of all ages, abilities, aspirations, single and multi-sport athletes of all distances, 5K runners, sprint triathletes, to Ironman and 100-mile trail runners, and master swimmers. We're competitors ourselves, real lives, real families, so we understand trying to fit it all in. You get sick, you get tired, we tell you to have a rest day, and what do you know, you do better the next week. We train athletes to reach their goals and go beyond the next PR to become more confident and skilled at their chosen sport. If you're looking for a coach, check us out at go3sport.com. All right, so tell us, what exactly is esports? I mean, I briefly looked this up. There's like millions of dollars of prize money involved in this crap. That's like all I saw, and I was like, hell, I need to learn how to play video games. What is the deal?
Yeah, when your parents said you couldn't make money playing video games, they lied.
They lied. They lied big time from what I mean, and I just did like a Google search for esports, and all I saw was like world championships, prize, you know, $1.5 million. I'm like, what? That's insane, but okay.
Recently, the reason I brought this topic up is because some things have kind of keep coming across it. A week or two ago, the state championships, there was an esports state championships. Shelby County, the local county, actually won. They're playing, what was the game? Rocket League. Rocket League's kind of this fun game. Alex and I used to play it some, where you get this, you have this giant soccer ball, and you're a car, and the soccer ball is like 4 times size of the car, and you would use the car to like kick the ball. So you'd run into the ball with the car, and it would bounce it. And it's like a kick in soccer, and you can get your car in front of it and defend, and it's like a 4-person team.
That sounds like fun in real life. Don't they play that in real life? I would like so bash a ball with a car. Anyway.
You can have 4-person teams. You can play virtually, and therefore we can get on a network and we can play against each other. And this was actually the state championship was playing Rocket League. And you'd have 4-person teams and you would play. One person would kind of be a goalie. You'd have 1 or 2 attackers. It became very strategic, like soccer. But you have to do it with these cars. And your car can go and you can kind of jump the car. It has some features to be able to direct the ball.
So is everybody like in the same place, or are they?
It's like a stadium. I think they do it in the same place.
Okay, so everybody's like on their own game console, whatever, in the same location, and physical location.
A lot of times it's in the same physical location, and it's grown as a sport now where they'll actually do it in a stadium, and they'll be up in front in the stadium, and they'll project the screens, and 50,000 people will be watching.
In person?
Yes, in person, watching these events.
Okay. That just sounds so bizarre to me, but all right.
You know, and I keep coming across it. I think Bayern Munich, one of the major soccer teams in Europe, they now have an esports team that plays basically.
It's a great way to prevent injuries, except for your thumbs.
It's soccer, the FIFA soccer game by EA Sports, where they actually play. And it's a competitive team, and they pay people to be on the team, to be the members of the team and compete for them.
Wow.
And they're selling out stadiums to watch people compete in these games. Disney Channel actually has one of their nighttime is these different tournaments. We'd watch some of it. They have Overwatch tournaments, which is a game they play on the Xbox. I think they're teams of 4, 5, 6. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't play that game, Overwatch. And they would actually show the tournaments on Disney Channel now.
Wow. That's just wild.
It's growing into this game. And recently, one of the popular gamers, his name's Ninja, he's actually the first esport athlete to get an Adidas deal.
Why does he need shoes?
It's a sponsorship.
Wow.
You're an Adidas athlete now, so now you're going to wear Adidas-branded gear and hats when you go do your public appearances, when you compete. It's a major sponsorship.
I guess since they're going somewhere to compete, that would make sense. I mean, I guess I just think of computer games. You're sitting by yourself in your house. Why would Adidas care what you were wearing? But if you're actually going and they're selling out stadiums, well, then, yeah, it makes sense. You're sitting there.
And these people show up on YouTube channels. They compete. They have their own streams. They have followers. They have a following, and it's an advertising
avenue. So does their like little characters, does his little character wear Adidas on the computer screen?
I don't think so. That'd be pretty cool. I could see skins like that. Custom skins.
Yeah.
I don't know if the game, most of the skins comes from the games. That's how they make money, is the skins.
Okay.
More than the game. They don't really charge to play. They charge for custom skins.
Okay.
And if you don't have a custom skin, well, you're just not cool, so...
So everybody
you
wants
can spend
custom
hundreds
skin.
Of dollars on custom skins and
gotcha
for your games.
Well, I wonder if Adidas would pay the game. Anyway, that's a whole another way for the game to make money. Just to
it's a fascinating thing, and I get it. Like Alex watches YouTube, and a lot of the popular channels are people gaming and then commenting while they game.
Yeah,
it's a very entertaining.
Some of those guys are funny as hell.
Those guys can be really funny. They're really good. They're entertaining. And you begin to watch them play their sport. And you begin to understand that game a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go and watch just a competition, I understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It has as much drama as any sporting event to a great extent. A sport like Fortnite, a game like Fortnite where it's kind of a duos and you fight to the end. You can watch the team go, and it's drama as they're trying to survive this battle. It's as real as any game, basketball game that comes down to the end.
Wow. I guess I just think of why would you go somewhere to physically watch people playing a video game when you could probably just stream it?
Well, you can do that with any sporting event.
Yeah, that's
football,
true.
Football, soccer, all that stuff's on TV anymore.
Good point. Yeah, good point. Why go to the live game? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and... For me, the exit question on this is, when will esports replace regular sports as the primary entertainment in sports in general?
That will be interesting.
It's not going to probably happen in our lifetime, I don't think. I think it's my sons, their generation will probably be the first generation that occurs for.
Hmm. So like no more UK basketball.
You'll have it, but it'll be smaller than the esports. You're already seeing multi-million-dollar prizes in esports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was I just was absolutely astounded.
And then my next question is, when will we become like Wally? We just sit in chairs.
I hope that Wally never happens. Oh, my God. That's like the saddest movie. I love that movie because I love Wally, but that is a sad movie. Oh, my God. B and L.
The funny thing is that's a lot of times the picture you get of it. If we say, what's an esport athlete look like? That's your thought.
That's the picture,
fat, sitting on a chair, playing video games. What's actually interesting about it is all those guys generally work out now and are very fit. It turns out that when they're working on these teams, they actually work 10, 12 hour days perfecting their game. And to be able to do that day in and day out, they actually have to be in pretty good shape because of the intensity of playing that game all day and training. For them, it's training. They're going through, and like any other athlete who has to train for an event or anybody who's training for some type of event, they're training for it, and they put in long hours. And to be able to do that, they actually have to be in pretty good physical shape.
Yeah, I mean, most of the YouTubers, just when I've seen them over here, they're pretty fit guys. I mean, there's no big lugs sitting around.
To be able to put in the workload they do, they have to actually be fit. They can't just be blobs because they wouldn't have the energy to play these games because these games are fairly intense.
Well, they're high energy people. I mean, yeah. And it, you know, and I mean, studies with video games and you know, like with kids with ADD, and your brain's got to be able to move really super fast to be able to keep up.
And there's an intensity there, and to be able to do that for 8, 9, 10 hours a day, you actually have to be in pretty good physical shape to be able to withstand that training load. While it's not a, what makes them somewhat more challenging than athletics, when I go out and work out for a set number of hours, I need a long time to recover from that. They don't quite have that much intensity. They don't need as long a recovery time, so they can spend more time actually training their game, which is why they have to stay in physical fitness, because they're doing it day in and day out for extended periods of time.
Whereas a regular athlete has rest days.
You got to have rest days. You got to have times off. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's not what you would think of these fat schlobs who play video games. These are actually guys who are who have to maintain some fitness to be able to play at their level and to be able to really be alert and active to gain the skills necessary to play these games at a very high level. These guys, very good reaction times. As good as any sport, and it's they're high intensity. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of inputs. You got to be able to process it. You got to be able to make decisions very quickly, or you lose.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It is a very interesting thing, and I guess the question to kind of bring it back to endurance sports is we're seeing fitness take on a very big virtual presence, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
I mean, the Peloton, we see those commercials for the Peloton all the time.
You realize how much those things cost?
They're expensive.
They're $2,500 and then $58 a month to have somebody yell at you. I will come and yell at you if you need that. Because the people I know that have them, they're only using them like once a week.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I will come and yell at you for that.
The other cool one I've seen is the mirror. That's the one I like.
Oh.
Where it projects onto the mirror, and so you can see yourself, and they will do a move, and then you have to do the move, and you can kind of see it, see if you're doing the move correctly. Huh. And it's like a TV screen, so it can fit in a very small space, so you can work out in this
just very small space.
On a wall.
Wow. Yeah, I want to say I saw a commercial or something for that.
That one's one of my favorite.
And then, of course, you've got regular treadmills that are already training you.
You got the treadmills, the Zwift, as we were talking about that before. Is you've got Zwift, which is creating this virtual environment for people to train in, right?
Right. You can bike anywhere you want in the world and compete about compete against anybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
That leads us to the question of, will we end up with virtual real sports?
Yeah.
I mean, why can't you have a bike race in Zwift?
Yeah.
Get together, bike. We've got the data coming in from the power meters. We'd have to have some way to officially weigh in. But if you had an event...
Well, there's digital scales that...
Well, you'd have an event at some place. I could see this where we have a stadium. We get 10 or 12 world-class riders. They come in, they step on a scale. We get their official weight. We put them on their bike. Now we can get a pretty good idea of what their speed is because we know the power-to-weight ratio. We're going to use that ratio to determine speed. That way it's fair for all of them. And we have a race.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a virtual race.
Over a virtual terrain.
A friend that she did an indoor try, and all the bikes were set the same. So, yeah. And you had a certain amount of time to see how far you could ride. But they were all set the same so that it was fair across the board.
Right.
So,
but think of this as like world-class athletes in a virtual world racing on these bikes. You could put the screens up there where they are into each other and have an actual competition.
Yeah.
With running, we're starting to head towards the those treadmills where you don't need power.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of them, but they're like sloped. I was on one a couple weeks ago. They're pretty cool.
With that, in theory, you could determine foot power.
Yeah.
We could have Zwift there as well and actually have a marathon race or a half marathon race occur in a very small space with everybody together, put it up on the screen. And you could watch these athletes race each other and see how they're doing in real time and if they're struggling, much like any other type of television coverage out there. You could actually do a duathlon even We haven't figured out a way to have virtual swimming.
Virtual yet. Swim would be, everybody'd have to have a the small, was it the, not an endless pool. Is it an endless pool?
Yeah, you'd need the like an endless pool. Yeah,
or, everybody'd have to have one of those.
You'd have to figure out a way to do it such that your stroke would determine how fast you're going and not the resistance against you. That would be the problem with a treadmill, is setting that pace.
Right.
You really need something that you can set a pace independent of the actual device.
Right.
Which is why I was thinking of those treadmills that don't
need... Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Yeah. I mean, because the indoor trial that my friend did, she was on a treadmill, and it was... I mean, she could set the speed as to whatever she wanted.
And you can push your pace...
Right.
Probably faster than you would normally run in that type of scenario by just hitting faster until you can't go any further.
Until you fly off the back. But yeah, those treadmills that don't have a motor, essentially, I mean, it's human powered. That would work great. And then it registers, you know, the digital screen comes up. It tells you how fast you're going and how far you've gone. You can register all that stuff.
Now all you would need is some way to generate hills with it, some way to create an incline mechanism.
That's the one thing it does not do.
Yet. I imagine that could be done, and that would be cool. Now all of a sudden, you could actually do Zwift and actually run, and you could have a virtual race. You could get everybody together and have a virtual race at a certain time in the day and cover whatever course in Zwift and actually have a physical race and pay out prizes or whatever.
Yep.
I know that running has the virtual races where everybody kind of runs a distance and you record it. But this would actually be a physical race where you could calculate all the data.
Most of those virtual races, I don't know if they require that you send in your data or not in order to get your medal. It's kind of like you pay the money. It's going to a charity anyway, so they just, you know, kind of send you a medal. But interesting. So I guess the next question would be, all right, so if everybody's riding on Zwift, nobody's going to know how to ride on the road anymore. I mean, safety-wise, that's why a lot of people do Zwift, because they don't have a place to ride.
This is,
you know, they're not safe out on the roads.
We're moving to this virtual training world, and there are benefits. Like you said, safety. If I'm running indoors or I'm biking indoors, I'm not getting hit by a car, I'm not having some predator take me out, I'm not having a dog come up and bite me.
Yeah, no dogs, no rain, no cold.
You can control the temperature. You can control the time when you're going to do it. Biking, you can't really bike at night. I mean, you can. It's not very safe.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
We'd rather not, exactly.
Potholes.
So this gives you an option to be able to bike at night and train at night. The indoor training also helps for time-constrained athletes. You don't have to go somewhere and actually train. You can just go into your basement, have it set up, and be up and going
in half the time. No locker rooms.
No locker rooms.
No gross locker rooms.
And things like a treadmill are actually easier on your body.
Yeah.
It's not as hard as a pavement for running on. There are some real benefits to this virtual training, but there are also drawbacks. And this is kind of an interesting... I'm interested to see where a lot of this goes, because... By training indoors like that, you're not getting outdoors. We're not getting our vitamin D, and there's something about getting outside. There's something human about going outdoors and doing activities outdoors that gets lost in all this indoor training and driven, for me at least. It's interesting. I guess where I'm getting at is what happens on race day to a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier, bike handling is a skill. It's something that you have to be out doing. It's something that you have to get out of your comfort zone to get better at.
Yep.
And you have to aggressively get out of your comfort zone. It is very challenging to ride 3 or 4 inches from someone else, side to side.
Yeah.
It can be very challenging to get within 5 or 6 inches of the bike in front of you. It takes some courage. It takes getting out of that comfort zone to get used to it, to figure out how to do it effectively. Now, in triathlon, there's no drafting.
But you still have to...
You still have to be able to ride in a straight line. You still have to be able to go around corners. You still have to avoid other participants, obstacles that occur in the road.
You've got
to
be predictable. I mean, if you're doing crazy stuff... You know, and I mean, you've been behind some riders, and I have too, where it's like, whoa, I got to pick where I'm going to pass. Yeah, where are you going?
Keep a straight line.
Yeah.
When obstacles occur in the road, can you dodge them? These are skills that you learn in real-world riding that you're not getting. And I'm wondering, while you're safer in your training, are you creating a danger on the race course for those around you.
Well, the other thing too is if, you know, you're working so much on the trainer, you're getting super fit. I mean,
so you're going fast.
So you're going fast and you've got the power. But if that power is not controlled correctly when you're on the real road on a real race,
are you a danger to other participants?
Yeah, that could get very hairy.
And that's kind of the other side of this is I get why people train indoors. It makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
And there's professional athletes that are doing it. Man, I don't know how much I want to ride next to them in a race, though. For someone like me who works on his bike handling skills on a regular basis, I am not afraid to pass in a tighter space.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out of control, that becomes more dangerous for me. Now, if you were to run into me, you're probably going to go down and not me in that situation.
Yeah.
But that's a danger to other people out on course. If you go down,
everybody behind you
could potentially be in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. You run into me, I may not go down. I might, but there's a decent chance I'm going to stay up because you're probably going to bounce off me and I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
Because I have run into other people just in short areas and can stay up in that situation. It's something I train. It's
hey, I stayed up when you elbowed me yesterday.
I did elbow you yesterday. Fortunately, you didn't go down. After I did that, I was like, man, that was probably a bad idea.
No, I knew you were going to do it. So
okay.
it was fine.
Actually, the racers and stuff will actually lean on each other in practice.
Yeah.
The people who race in the Peloton just to get used to. And if you watch them when they race, they'll actually reach out and touch people, just kind of let them know they're there as a way to communicate to the other riders in the Peloton. Mm-hmm. And when they sprint full pour, they'll actually put their shoulders into each other to create space with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a skill that should be learned. But if you spend all your time on a trainer indoors where you do no balance,
yeah,
the trainer holds you up.
Now, if you were somebody like you that has rollers, you're going to learn some bike handling skills.
You're going to learn to ride in a straight line.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that on rollers.
Yeah, you don't ride in a straight line, you're toast.
The downside to rollers is really you can't do the workouts that they do. You can't because you can't stand up and sprint. If you try to stand up on rollers, that's going to end badly for you. Rollers are very much a steady state workout.
Okay.
You can add some intensity to it. It's steady state intensity. In theory, I could up the power output and ride on rollers at a higher power rate, but you're not going to have a lot of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really simulate hills and things of that nature easily on rollers. But you will learn to ride in a straight line. I can guarantee that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not ready to try those again, ever. Maybe someday. I don't know.
I don't know. It's an interesting topic. Yeah. We're not going to come up with any solutions here.
No, it'll just be interesting to see what the future holds. And now I really want to learn how to ride. To play Minecraft, and I'm gonna have to hang out with Alex.
He'll teach you Minecraft. He loves to play Minecraft.
Yeah,
it's his favorite game.
So may not even need that college fund for that boy. If esports take off,
it's different though. You have to have these guys who are really good, or much like any other sport, they genetically are better in some regards with their reflexes. Because to some extent, reflexes is genetically passed.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to have a drive. These guys are driven to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Much like any other sports. What differentiate the talented are the ones that are driven, like anything else. Drive matters.
Oh, yeah.
It separates the cream of the crop. And I've got a volleyball girl who's going to be an elite athlete.
Cool.
She's 6 years old, and she was in tears when she didn't get her serve over the other day.
Aww.
She's driven to get it over. He said, yeah, when they started doing gymnastics, she couldn't do a somersault. So she got up every day and did them before school. Every day until she could get it.
Yeah.
That's an athlete who's going to do very well when she gets older.
Yeah.
She's only going to be limited by her genetics.
Yeah. I mean, if she's six and she's that driven on her own, I mean, it doesn't sound like her parents are making her do somersaults every morning.
No. No, she's just driven like that. And I'm pretty sure she's been practicing the volleyball stuff regularly. I imagine someone who's that driven is going to do very well.
Yeah.
And that's what separates out these elite gamers. I'm not sure Alex is that driven. He enjoys it and is good at a lot of things. I'm just not sure he's driven. At least he hasn't found anything he's that driven at to be dominating it.
Yeah. He enjoys it, and that's all that matters. Yeah,
there's something
for now
to be said for that. No, yeah. What people don't realize with a lot of these esports and YouTube is there is a grind element to it that you've got to be able to embrace, just like sports, just like the real world. All these things have a grind element. To be the best, you've got to be willing to go in there and work when other people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good times.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be curious to see if we're around to see where it goes. I like riding outside still. Thank you very much. And running outside too. All right. Well, that does it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. Listen to us on iTunes, Google Play. Tell other people about us. Rate us. Let us know what you think. Send us any questions. And if you're looking for a coach, check us out at go3sport.com. Have an awesome day.